I find preachers and servants of God and smart people and spiritual people and nice-looking people, fat people and skinny people and tall people and short people, and they won't do God's will. And yet the Bible says, he that herein serveth God is accepted of God and approved of men, or vice versa. And who in the world ever thought of serving God by rejoicing? And yet that's what the Bible says. And the Bible says you cannot please him any other way but by rejoicing in the Lord. It's a strange thing how little we care about God's will. We serve God in our own way, like Cain did. When I was a little boy, before I ever thought of learning Chinese, neither Mandarin nor Cantonese, I had a Sunday school picture of the sacrifice of Cain and Abel, and I was much interested in it. Cain's sacrifice produced a lot of smoke, but the smoke went down to the ground. And Abel's sacrifice produced a pillar of smoke, and it went straight up. And now we all want to serve God, and we all want to please. Well, maybe we don't. Maybe we don't. And why does God make this so strong? Why does he make this demand so definite? Rejoice evermore, underscore that word, more. That's important. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Strange. What an underscoring of the Holy Ghost. This is the will of God. I read of the saints. I read of a certain saint whose name is inscribed in all the annals of church history. And they tell me that he lived such a frugal life. He wanted to please God so much that he only ate the very coarsest sort of food. I don't remember what it was, but it was something that you wouldn't give your pigs. But he wanted to serve God by torturing his body. And if at any time it happened that he ate a little bit more, then he would pray and weep bitterly because he had sinned against God so terribly. Be surprised what fools we can be. How we try to make saints out of ourselves, and God says, rejoice evermore. What does he mean by that? Why, let Jesus Christ reign within you. He that herein serveth God is accepted of God and approved of men. And whoever thought of serving God with joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, well, it means that I make the choice between the devil and Christ, between light and darkness, between life and death, between righteousness and unrighteousness. It means that I really say, take thy great power and reign thou alone. Let the Sun of Righteousness shine within me. And when God commands me to rejoice evermore, he says, in the Holy Ghost. That's the difference. Oh, my Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And that's one command. And then I will manifest myself to you. And there is the joy in the Holy Ghost. Not something that we derive from having our own way, our own sanctity, our own overcoming, our own righteousness. But it's Christ within. Christ rejoicing. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. And now it is such a simple word of God. Rejoice evermore. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's how I keep in Christ Jesus, and that's how Jesus Christ keeps dwelling within me, and that's how that fountain keeps flowing unceasingly within me. The reason I like to talk about this subject is because I had to do that when I was a crab. I mean, Professor Crab. I had really graduated in that university of the devil. I made life miserable for people around about me once in a while. Not always, but once in a while. And I didn't rejoice evermore. But when I discovered that that was really the reign of Satan, I don't mean Lucifer or Beelzebub or whatever you call the captain of the devils, but was a little shrimp of cross-eyed, bow-legged demon that the devil had put into my bones and made me feel crabbed. When I found out it was the reign of the devil, I said, now schluss damit. That must end. And praise God, it was a fight. It really was. But I found out it was his fight. I found out that Jesus Christ fought for me. And that when I gave myself to keep his commands, the old Adam wouldn't play. He hung his harp upon a willow. Elder Brooks was like that. He said he used to stick his beard in the carpet and moan and mourn and thought he was pleasing God by dumping over his failure and over his sin, until he found out it was nothing but a dump. And then God commanded Elder Brooks to get rid of it. He said, you've got a devil as big as yourself. Get rid of it. And the Lord told him how. He had to spend 15 minutes a day, three times a day, praising the Lord. What a jump for a reputed minister, a man that could preach like a house of fire. And now to praise the Lord, he had to come to meeting 15 minutes ahead of time, three times a day, and praise the Lord for 15 minutes. And he told me this himself. He said it took 3 months, but he did it. He did it faithfully. And at the end of 3 months, he said he dug a hole through that thing. He came right through into glory. And anybody who knows Elder Brooks knows what a wonderful, wonderful vessel of God that man came to be. One of the greatest prophets of this generation. Although he didn't advertise himself as a prophet. But he was. And he became that because he obeyed God and he served God not with a jump, but with a jump. He came here one time. I think he stood in this pulpit. And we were standing to be dismissed. He said, everybody do as I do. And he began to hop like this. And now that would have been very foolish for him to do if God didn't do it. But God did it. Everybody hopped. I don't know whether they'd do it if I asked them to. But he had such a nice beard, you know. And he looked like a nice preacher. And so everybody obeyed him, and the glory of God came down in torrents. Something went out. Hallelujah. And God has means and ways of smiting our self-inflicted importance, which is of the devil, and giving us the joy of childhood. Praise God. But anyway, we don't imitate that. We don't try to produce anything like that. But when God says rejoice evermore, he says, I give you plenty reason to rejoice. And if you don't, you make me a liar. And when I rejoice in the Lord, the Holy Spirit gets behind it. And that fountain begins springing up within my soul. And something happens to the inner man. I tell you what happens. The kingdom of God comes. The king comes. The king comes. Such a sad thing that today people interpret prophecies of the Bible like the old Pharisees did, exactly like that. They're trying to build again the wall of the weeping wall there in Jerusalem. It ain't tall enough. It ain't big enough. They have to put some more bricks on it. And they built the Temple of Solomon again and all that sort of business, which God says it's been done away because he has established something better. A tabernacle not built with hands, eternal in the heavens. The kingdom of God is within you, or you'll never be in the kingdom of God. And how wonderful is this kingdom. Just think, what a wonderful people we are. We're all rejoicing evermore. Rejoicing in the Lord. Always, no matter what the devil does, no matter what the world does, no matter what the communists do, the joy of the Lord never ceases flowing. It's the river of life. It's God the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost that have found a throne room upon this earth, have found a temple in which they can speak their word and manifest their glory and their power. By myself have I sworn, says the Lord, that the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. And where did he swear? Why, at the time when he swore that they should not enter in because they murmured and they grumbled and they kicked and they criticized and they backbit and they disbelieved God. Beloved, God gives us plenty of reason to enter into the joy of the Lord. And we won't know Jesus until we obey this command. And when I learned to obey this command, something happened to me, thank God. I would never have gotten into this ministry if I had stayed in my dumps. I wouldn't. I couldn't have. There are too many reasons by which the devil crushes ministers. He does. But oh, when Christ is within, and the rivers of living water flow from within you, praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's real. The kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is within. And thank God, now we're hid with Christ in God. But when he is manifested, we shall be revealed with him in glory. Why? Because here we've accepted the King. And isn't it a wonderful way that God has chosen for us? As I said, it was a fight, and I find not many people that even take up this fight. The minute something goes wrong, they begin to kick or be discouraged or be disgruntled or look sad and whatnot. And it's inside. These worms are on the inside. An Italian sister who said she was an unworthy worm of the oil, as we all are, in Brooklyn broke. But those worms leave you, and the glory of God. Jesus says the Father will love him and we will come unto him. And he that herein serveth God. Do you know where that text is found? Of course you do. Do you know where this other text is found? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks. And this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's in the same chapter where he says you're not of darkness. We're all the children of the day and the children of light. And our God will sanctify us wholly. And our whole spirit and soul and body will be preserved blameless. Oh, my Lord, preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these are the ingredients that preserve you, the peace and the joy and the righteousness in the Holy Ghost.